I don't think I've ever heard that song, but I'm grateful for it. And it's neat how the Holy Spirit put everything together, because this morning I'd like to preach to you about the cross. Ephesians chapter number 2, if you could please, 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s. You can be dismissed. And as you think about it through the day, I know many of you already do this, but I feel an extra burden today, particularly for the second service, that the gospel would be clearly communicated. And so if you think about it, would you pray that the Holy Spirit would give help with that? And to keep you from being overly distracted, yes, I cut my finger last night peeling potatoes. It doesn't help to peel the top of your finger off. It's actually fairly painful, but the potatoes were fine. Don't worry, those of you that are... My wife finished peeling the potatoes. So anyway, that's what's there. It's not really that bad, but I need to keep it protected because I also take an aspirin for my heart, and that makes you bleed a little bit worse, so we don't want that to happen from the pulpit today. I took the Band-Aid off one time, and that did not go well. So that's why it's on here. I'm not really just trying to get your sympathy, though that would help. I mean, if you would want to do that, that'd be fine, all right? Lord willing, over the next 3 weeks, we want to look at, in preparation for missions conference, really I want to look at this theme, and that is, why do we even have a conference? Are we just filling time? Is it something that we put on our calendar, it's time to do it again, so therefore we do it? I want to, over the next 3 weeks, give you some reasons for that. Matter of fact, this morning we're going to look at the reason for missions. That is the cross. Lord willing, next week we'll look at the reality of missions. We're in a crisis. And if you haven't studied mission statistics lately, you may not recognize that. But we have scores of missionaries coming home. The missionary force in general is shrinking, and the population is rapidly growing. And there's a crisis. And then the third area we want to look at is the resources of mission. That's cash. You're like, wow, you're just going to be so bold? Yep, we need cash to get to the field. That's the deal. It costs a lot of money to put a missionary on the field. And that's part of why we have missions conference. We need the money to help support these missionaries and to keep them on the field and encourage them and so forth. And so Lord willing, that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. What is the cross to the world? As we think about the cross, for some, it is just a religious symbol to wear. They wear it around their neck, they tattoo it on their arm, on their back, whatever, they have one in their home. But if you were to ask them what it really means, most of them could not explain what it really means. For some, it's a cliche to communicate difficulty. This is my cross to bear. By the way, we ought to be careful with that. We ought to be careful with that. For some, it is a symbol of weakness and defeat. How could your God, if you claim he's God, how could he let someone do that to him? And obviously, he was defeated. We know a different story, but that's the way they view it. For others, it's a means to exploit people. In other words, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. See, I have this little crucifix on my, you know, on my counter in the car shop, so that means you ought to trust me. By the way, when someone starts their conversation with I'm a Christian, I automatically get suspect. And you say, well, that's pretty bad, Pastor. It's the truth. Because people use it to exploit others today, which is sad. To some, it's a tourist destination. Before the Olympics, what did most people know about Rio de Janeiro? The gigantic cross, and people go there to see that specifically. Not even really thinking about what it really means. But let's bring it home a little bit this morning and ask you, what does the cross mean to you? Now, for most of you in this room, you would tell me, well, it's my salvation. It, Jesus died on the cross for my sins and so forth. And I understand that, and that's good. I'm glad you know that. If you don't, we do need to talk, right? But what does it mean to you day by day? Is it just something that you've experienced once in the past and it now has no impact on your life whatsoever? Like, well, it does because I'm saved. Yeah, that's true, but how are you living it day by day? Do you keep a good view of the cross at all times? Like, well, Pastor, you're not being mystical, are you? No, I'm not. Because if you study the New Testament, by the way, we don't have time this morning to deal with every verse in the Word of God that deals with the cross. But if you look at the New Testament writers, Paul specifically, since he wrote the majority of it, the cross was never far from anything he did. He went back to it often. C.H. Spurgeon said, I read whatever text in the Bible and make a beeline for the cross. I'm not going to question Spurgeon, by the way. But the cross is woven through every page of Scripture. That's the truth. From the moment of sin throughout Scripture, it's there. I've been reading the book of Revelation. Lord willing, we'll start a series on that in October. Again, the cross is a center part of what's happening. So I want us to understand this morning that you must realize as a Christian, the cross is not only the reason you are saved, but it's the reason you should be serving in missions. In other words, we could say this, the cross is the reason we do missions. More specifically, the cross is the reason we have missions conferences. And so I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and following this morning. We're jumping into the middle of a text, and we don't have time to completely take this apart, but it's going to give us some jumping off places here. Most of us are very familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and probably 10. By grace are you saved through faith. Your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Paul says in verse 11, Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. If we were to say that today, he says, don't forget you were lost one time. Don't forget that. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that you might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Paul says, look, can I tell you, don't forget that you were lost. And don't forget that it is the cross that enabled you to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking this to saved people. In Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's laying the doctrinal foundation by which you should act in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. And Paul says one of the major reasons why you are to act the way you act is because of the cross of Christ and what he did for you. It's powerful. So I want us to look at a number of things about the cross from the Word of God. And as I said, it's impossible to deal with everything this morning. And I'm probably not going to say anything you haven't thought of before. But I want to put you in remembrance, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Number one, let's look at the mission of the cross. What was the mission of the cross? To redeem. To redeem. And he makes that clear in verses 11, 12, and 13. He says, you were far off. You were aliens. You were without hope. But the cross. And every one of us. No matter if you were saved out of a quote-unquote gross life of sin, or whether you were saved out of a preschool class, you were still without hope, lost in this world, an alien from God. And we got to keep that constantly at the forefront of what we think and do. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Same chapter, verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, "Whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." In the book of Hebrews, you know that he makes a very clear argument that he does not have to keep going into that holy place. It was a once for all forgiveness, the cross. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." The mission of the cross is to redeem. This is why we have missions conferences. Have you been redeemed today? If you have, are you rejoicing in that today? Have you forgotten what it was like to be redeemed? I got an email this morning from Matt Sterin. They are 13 hours ahead of us, so their services are over today. They had two people saved in their service today, an 81-year-old man and a 21-year-old. And then they had another couple join the church. For those of you that aren't familiar with Japan, that is a huge deal. That is a huge deal. Needless to say, Matt was pretty excited this morning. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God's still saving souls? All around the world today, people will meet and preach the same thing we're preaching. It's the cross that unites us. My wife and I were listening this week to something, and the man described how he was in Russia, I think it was, and couldn't speak the language, didn't know what in the world was going on, but he heard this person whistling a tune. And he recognized it. It was a song about the cross, about Calvary. And so he ran after the guy, couldn't communicate with him at all, stopped him, tried to communicate. Neither one of them knew what they were saying. So this guy whistled the same tune. And then he started whistling, and they looked at each other like, "Oh, we know what we're talking about, though we don't know what we're talking about, right?" And they shook hands with one another and looked at each other and pointed to heaven and went on their way. It immediately brought my mind back to a time when I was in Korea in the military. There was a Korean Marine. We were doing a joint exercise, and we were at a kind of a picnic. And there was a Korean Marine. You guys will appreciate this. There was a Korean Marine, and he was passing out tracts. On one side was American, and on the other side was Korean. And for many that he, the line of people that he was in currently, he couldn't speak to them because they were all Americans. I didn't know what he was doing at first, but he handed me this tract, and I realized what it was because there was English on there. And I stopped him, and I pointed to a couple of pages and pointed to some words on the English side, and he kind of was reading on the other side. And after just a little bit, we both realized what we were saying. His eyes lit up, my eyes lit up. We shook hands. It was like we're brothers in Christ. We can't speak a word to each other, but oh, how sweet it is, and I can't wait to talk to him. How did that happen? The mission of the cross is to redeem. Praise his name. But I want us to look secondly at the message of the cross. What's the message of the cross? This morning, God's really burdened me about something that I think all of you know, but I think sometimes we forget. Okay, so let me open this up a little bit, then we'll go to the scripture and look at some things. When most people today, I think most lost people today, and honestly, I believe most saved people today, look at the cross, they see the love of God. Now, is that bad? No. Does the cross display the love of God? Absolutely. For God so loved this world that he sent his only begotten Son. Absolutely, it displays love. But you listen to me, if that's all you see on the cross, your philosophy will be messed up, and your theology will be messed up. Because when you look at the cross, you should not only see the love of God, but you should see a holy, righteous God who's willing to judge sin to the extent that he would send his only begotten son to die that cruel death. And you listen to me, part of the problem today with ministry philosophies is that they've looked at the cross only as a symbol of love and not as a symbol of judgment. But I'm telling you, friend, the cross judged you and I, and we are guilty. We're guilty. Now, I'm grateful for the love of God, aren't you? That guilt was paid for by Jesus Christ. But the message of the cross is not only the love of God, but it's the holiness of God. John 3:16, I've already said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But did you know this? And I just chose a couple of books that I know emphasize this. We could look at the whole text of Scripture. But did you know that in the book of Exodus alone, the word holy is used 55 times? By the way, in the book of Leviticus, it's used 94. In fact, there's a large section of the book of the Leviticus that basically says this, and I'm putting it in my own words, but it basically says, do this, for I am the Lord your God. Do this, for I am the Lord your God. Do this, for I am the Lord your God. And he consistently emphasizes, not only is he God, but he is a holy God. He tells them, I want you to do this because I'm holy, and when I walk in the midst of the camp, I don't want you to do this. From the way they handled dietary stuff to the way they handled waste in camp, all of that is linked back to the holiness of God. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6 and verse 5, then said I, woe is me. Woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Brother Paul Crowe preached a wonderful message from that text this week in chapel. But it is very interesting to me, and Brother Paul brought this out, leading up to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah consistently says, woe is them, woe is them, woe is them, woe is them, woe is them. Matter of fact, I have that highlighted in my Bible. Until he gets a good view of God, and then he says, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God's holiness exposes our sinfulness. I heard someone say that they thought the closer they would get to God, the holier they would feel, if you would. They said, the closer I got to God, the more disgusting I looked at myself. That's true throughout Scripture. When people got a good view of God, they didn't think, oh, wow, I'm really a pretty good guy. God died for me. You don't find that in Scripture. You find that I am desperately in need of a Savior. The message of the cross, God loves, but he is also a holy God. This is why we have missions. This is why. Have you forgotten that he's a holy God as well as a loving God? Some people say, why don't you just leave them alone? They don't know that they're ignorant. Let them just stay in their ignorance. Because God judges sin, that's why. And he's going to judge it whether they ever hear about the love of God or not. By the way, there was a whole theology with that. They will hear about the love of God through creation and conscience and other things. But we want them to do. I'll give you some statistics at the end that's staggering. So we see, first off, the mission of the cross. That's to redeem. The message of the cross. God loves, but he's also holy. The mandate of the cross. Verse 17 in our text, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. What's the mandate of the cross? Others need to hear. The cross screams at us that people need to hear about it. Like, well, Pastor, are there really people in the world today that have never heard about the cross? Are you kidding? There are people in Kings Mountain that have never heard about it. I've run across them. They're like, that's not possible. Well, I don't think it is either, but I'm telling you, I've met them. You ever heard of Jesus? I think maybe I've heard that name. How could that be? But they're here. Again, I'll give you some stats in just a minute. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You're familiar with this passage, but turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. If you ever shared the gospel with anyone, you probably at some point in that gospel presentation got to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Precious truth, a promise in the Word of God. But verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Dale sent me that text this morning, this verse, Isaiah 52 and verse 7, in a text message. Boy, it was encouraging this morning. I have ugly feet normally, but today they're beautiful, right? That's what God says. "But they have not at all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath relieved our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." They got to hear it. They got to hear it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And what's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit coming upon you? "You shall be witnesses." That's what happens. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The automatic thing is, I'm going to be a witness. And I'm not only going to do that in my Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria, but into the uttermost parts of the earth. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The mandate of the cross is others need to hear. This is why we have missions conferences. This is why we have them. Are you telling others the message of salvation? I hope you took advantage of this last couple of weeks in which you could invite neighbors and friends and people to come today so they can hear the gospel. The mandate of the cross. So the mission of the cross was to redeem. The message of the cross is God loves, but he's a holy God. The mandate of the cross is others need to hear. I want us to see number 4, the motive in the cross. That's to serve others. To serve others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." In other words, Jesus said, "Hey, I would rather endure all that the cross has because of the joy of seeing people redeemed, the joy literally of serving other people." Paul makes this as an interesting argument. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Again, text of scripture that you're very familiar with. Philippians chapter 2. Probably one of two top passages if we want to talk about being a servant. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," verse 2, "let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." In other words, the cross is about serving others. See, when they made fun of our Lord at the cross, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If you're really God, come off that cross. He could have done that. That would have been the quote-unquote selfish thing to do, because he could have demonstrated who he was. He could have demonstrated the power that he had to come off that cross. But he wasn't there to demonstrate who he was per se. Now, I know there's an argument that he ultimately would, and I got that. He was there to serve. He was there to serve you and I, because that is the only way that you and I can be redeemed. It's the only way. Listen, that you say, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here. You're like, Pastor, that's a pretty narrow message. It sure is. It's about as narrow as they come. All roads do not lead to heaven. All doors do not lead to heaven. There's one. And I didn't come up with that. This is not a bigoted thing. Jesus said, I am the way. That's it. My friend, I would love to be able to tell you, well, that person is a good person, and they just love people, and they're just so good, and I think they're going to make it to heaven. Not unless they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not. They could be the greatest person that's ever walked this earth outside of Jesus Christ. They could be that. And if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm sorry, friend. They're not going to heaven. They may be one of those that stand at the door, quote unquote, and say, but Lord, we did this in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did this in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. The mandate of the cross is that we serve others. That is why we have missions conferences. Matter of fact, the truth is, I'm going to bring out in our second message, it's the only reason for our existence. If we're not seeing people saved and discipling them, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission, and that's the reason he left us here. That's the purpose of the church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How are you serving others? Does this serving have the cross in mind? Does it have the cross in mind? Can I tell you, it'd be really convenient to have all the kids live close to us. We had a grandbaby. Hefner's did as well yesterday, term one. I can't believe Spurgeon's one. Cute as a button, that guy is. He takes after his mama. Daddy, but I mean, that's I'm just messing with Steve. You know what? It would be thrilling to have them closer. My wife and I both have talked about having a little bit of grandbaby heebie-jeebies lately, right? Like, man. But I'd far rather them serve God. Hannah and Caleb are candidating at a church in Missouri today. Instead of getting married and coming back here, they may be getting married and moving. Long ways away, about 16 hours or so, 15 to 16 hours. But I'd sure rather than be serving God, serving others. I want us to see number five, and lastly, the mockery of the cross. Others will make fun of you. The Bible makes that clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you know that the world believes that what we're doing today is utter foolishness? How could you do that? You mean to tell me that you actually believe that? Not only do I believe it, but it's what we're supposed to be doing. And from a pure physical standpoint, I mean, just from a practical physical standpoint, it does seem kind of crazy, doesn't it? To preach a message about someone who died 2,000 years ago on a cross and was buried, and that he can change your life, and I mean, yeah, it seems kind of crazy. From a world standpoint, they think it's foolishness. And they're constantly trying to destroy it. I've mentioned to you a couple of times, I have a friend who we went to high school together, Christian school. He grew up there, and he's a staunch atheist. And this week he posted an article to his Facebook page. He's like, you stay friends with him. Yes, I do, for a lot of reasons. But he posted an article this week to his Facebook page where some scientists and people have discovered falsehoods in the Bible. And he's like, see, here's the real truth. You can believe something for over 2,000 years, but eventually it'll be proven false. I thought, you know what? Every time we've uncovered some archaeological thing, do you know what it's done? It's proven the Word of God true. Every time medical science has made all of a sudden this great leap, and then you find out, oh, yeah, actually, God said that. I mean, they used to bleed people to death. Until all of a sudden medical science figured out, you know, actually, we think blood's pretty important to you. No kidding. You mean like the life of the flesh is in the blood or something like that, you know? We no longer believe the world is flat. We think it might actually be round. No kidding. You mean like a verse where God says he sits on the circumference of the earth? You did things like that? Hey, you know what? If you go through really difficult medical condition, your chances of being healed are far better if you're happy. Really? You mean like a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? Something like that. Do you know what? I could save millions of dollars in research. We could set up our own research firm right here and let them funnel the money in and we'll give them the money. It's amazing how that works. You know, the mockery of the cross is another reason that we have missions conferences. Are you willing to be mocked? Will you encourage others who will be mocked? The fact is, most of us will really never be mocked that much, at least currently. Now, you might have been made fun of a little bit. Someone might have slammed the door in your face. They might have said that they don't want your track. But the truth is, most of us have never really been mocked that much. It may be coming. But I can tell you, there are missionaries around the world that they're daily mocked for what they believe. And part of what we can do is be an encouragement to them. Even by praying. And they know we're praying. I try to send an email to our missionaries when we feature them on Wednesday night and say, hey, we prayed for you this week. I get messages back from them. They said, you have no idea what it means to know that you're praying back there. That's why this communication is so important. Missions conference is not just another time on the calendar for us to fill. And I'm not trying to be cliche here, but it should be part of our very DNA. Maybe the core of who we are. The core of who any church is. That ought to be it. The cross is one of the reasons for this. I want to ask you this morning, will you begin praying about the week of missions conference? Will you begin praying about your giving to missions conference? Will you begin to pray about your attendance to missions conference? Like, Pastor, every night of the week and I'm tired and I got to get up the next morning and go to work. I understand all that. This is not just something we put on the calendar to fill space. It's really important. Imagine if you were passionate about something. I mean, really passionate about it. And nobody listened. How would you feel? Wouldn't you want them to listen to you? Quickly, in closing, let me give you a couple things to wet your whistle for next week. There are 17,000 distinct people groups in the world today. 17,000. About 7,000 of these are unreached. Did you get that? Let that sink into you. Unreached means less than 2% claim any kind of Christianity. So if someone claims 3% Christianity, they didn't include that in this stat. 7,000 are unreached. 3,000 are not only unreached, but are totally unengaged, meaning nobody is attempting to reach them. 3,000 people groups. You're like, well, how many people does that represent? One would be enough. It would be enough if it just represented one. And some of them are small groups, but no, 3,000, nobody's engaging them. That's why we have missions conference. That's why we give sacrificially. That's why part of our giving supports some place like Ambassador Baptist College. That's why this morning around the world in various places, the gospel is being preached by people, and they're going to places that we cannot get to. It's that important. It's that important. So we'll look next week, the crisis of missions. Father, thank you for the cross. It's the whole reason we do things. Matter of fact, it's the reason we put so much work into today. And Lord, we do pray that people would come. We can't bring them. We can't force them to be here. We'd love for them to come. And then, Lord, today, not only for our people who may interact with them, but I, as I open the Word of God, may the message be abundantly clear that you want a relationship with them. We would like to think that all these people that are walking our doors today have already heard about Jesus, and some of them may have, but, Lord, many of them may not have. This may be the very connection that they need. As Brother Norm Johnston used to say, we may be their contact point. May we do that with a passion for you. May we not forget the cross. May this be the reason that we have missions conference. In your name we pray. Amen.